I certainly need your prayers this afternoon. Very thankful to be here. Written on the board the burden that I feel like the Lord would have me to share with you. Keep the windows open. Life for you to turn with me to the book of Daniel, the 6th chapter. Again, ask for an interest in your prayers this afternoon. I'd like to look at the 6th chapter of Daniel, beginning in the 1st verse. Says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and that the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred, above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. I know this is a familiar story to us this afternoon, but as we look back on this at a time whenever, if you recall earlier in Daniel's life, when he and the Hebrew children, God's people, were led captive, led as it was prophesied and foretold into a land of captivity. There they were taken and held in a strange land among a strange people of a different speech and of a different custom, and that knew not the God that they served. Well, they came here to a place and it said that those that looked upon him, they sought and they desired to find fault with Brother Daniel. They looked on him and they were just sure there was some place in his life that I can find some fault. They were of a jealous spirit, of a jealous heart. You know, you remember Daniel whenever he was brought into this place and it was put to him that Daniel and those that were there with him, you must bow down unto the customs that you're set before now. You're not in your land anymore. You're not in the land of your nativity, the land that you were brought up in. You're in a different custom. You're in a different culture now. They changed the names that they were identified by. They set before them a different meat, a different food, and they said, this now will be your diet. But they said, no, my God is not pleased with this. My God is not pleased in... They defied what seemed to them to be the only logical thing. You can't stand before the king and prosper unless you conform yourself unto the way that we prescribed. Unless you conform yourself to the idea of what the world says is success. But you know the Lord has a way of prospering His people. Whenever Scripture says, whenever a man's ways please the Lord, He maketh even His enemies to be at peace with Him. Who is it today that we're seeking to please? Whose approval is it that we're seeking to gain by our lives? Whenever our ways please the Lord has a way of causing His people to prosper in a captive land. You look at Joseph whenever he was led into captivity. The Lord caused him. It wasn't just a time that Joseph went and folded his hands and he hid away somewhere and the Lord wasn't able to do anything with him. But it was through his adversity that the Lord was able to work. I want to encourage us this afternoon in a land of adversity. Folks, we're all strangers and pilgrims in this land that we're traveling through. And I hope today that you feel like a stranger. I hope you feel like you don't fit in. I hope you feel like with the pressures around, my God is calling for something different out of my life. Lord, help us that our desire and our intent and our purpose unwaveringly would be, Lord, I want to please You. I want the things that I partake of. It's not about, as we heard this morning, pleasing men. It's not about gaining the approval of men. But Lord, Paul said, the Apostle Paul, wherefore we labor, whether absent or present, that we may be approved of Him, accepted of Him. That's why we do what we do. That's why I don't partake of the things that I don't partake in. It's the foundation that I stand on. You know, we fast forward now. Many years, Daniel had already taken that stand. He had already come to the place that he said, I will not violate the law of my God. And the Lord blessed him for it. We remember that as they came, and after this trial period, they came and set them before the king, and they were fairer than any of the others. Oh, folks, whenever we have the blessing of the Lord upon us, whenever we're accepted of the Lord can make us and cause us to prosper right in the midst of the land that we're in. Amen. All around us. Because of the blessing of the Lord, because the Lord's favor was upon Daniel, an excellent spirit was found within him. You think that was just Daniel's personality? You think he was just an extra agreeable kind of person? I believe it was the spirit of his God. So it was Belshazzar, was it? Whenever they saw the handwriting on the wall, and the queen, I believe it was, said, there is a man. There is a man in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. There is a man, there's something about him. There's something, yes, it's peculiar, it's strange, but there's something about him. That he has something. He has some answers. He's able to turn to one that can give him answers to the problems that we face. And so because of the prosperity of Daniel, the Lord's blessing upon him. You know, it's really a strange thought, but it's always been the case whenever the Lord blesses his people, there are those that will rise up against it. Jesus warned and foretold of his disciples that whenever you go out into the world, that men will hate you. If you were of this world, then would men, the world would love you. But because you're not of this world, you're not conformed to the ways of this world. You don't bow down when the world says this is the way you have to operate. I remember in high school a time and a conviction that I held that and they would show movies in class, and I said, I don't want to participate in that. It's a line that I've drawn. I don't want to go there. And I remember my English teacher in high school pulling me aside and with a sincere desire for me, said, Clint, you're going to go out in the real world one day. And you're going to need to be able to function. You're going to need to be able to cope with the real world. Well, yes, I do, but, you know, with the blessing of the Lord. Folks, we don't have to bow down to the things that have the fingerprints of the world all over them. We don't have to imbibe of the spirit of the world. If the glory of the Lord will shine upon us, if His favor will go before us, it will cause us, it will enable us to live right in the midst of a sinful and a wicked world about us. And so Daniel found that same spirit that was within him. And as they looked on, I believe it is the nature of a guilty man. One that is a hypocrite. I'm just sure that everybody else around me has got to be a hypocrite too. If in the dark secret places of my life I'm not true before men and God, I look on everyone else and assume that they must be the same way. If I cheat on my taxes, I'm sure everybody else must too. If I lie, I'm sure everybody must tell a white lie. If I sin in my life, I'm sure I'm not the only one. There must be others as well. And so they looked on Daniel and they said, we're sure there's got to be some guile in him too. We know there's got to be something here that we can find some fault in. And I say, oh Lord, help us today that this might be the only charge that they can bring against us. Live before men and God to be blameless, to be of a good report of those that are without, that they might be able to look on our conversation, that we be blameless before God. And so they resorted to trying to find fault with the conduct of his life towards God. Folks, we feel pressure today. We see the changes in the world around us. We see the decrees that are being set forth. We see the laws. We see the rulings of the Supreme Court that come down. We see the edicts of men that go forth. But I want to remind us today, that's not the law of our God. We're citizens of a heavenly country. And you know what it can cause us to do? It can cause us to despair. I look around and I see all the things around me. And I've been thinking myself lately, I don't even recognize this nation anymore. I don't recognize what I look on. You know, it's because although on paper I'm a citizen of this nation, I'm really not. Because I'm a citizen of another nation. I'm a citizen of another country. Lord, help us today that we not despair. And so I want to look here at Daniel's reaction. Daniel's head wasn't in the sand, so to speak. Daniel wasn't just oblivious to what was going on around him, and that's somehow how he had the victory. But he said in the 10th verse, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime." And so I want to challenge us this afternoon. Keep the windows open. Whenever Daniel knew of the decree, whenever he knew and he realized this is the direction that the nation that I'm in is going, this is the decree that they've made. You know, it could have, and I realize there's wisdom that we are to use. And the Lord will give us wisdom to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But there's also a place for us in this land and in this time that we live in. Leave the windows open. Daniel could have gone into his house and closed the shutters and pulled the blinds and said, "Lord, I'm still going to pray before you. But it's not going to hurt to obscure it a little bit. It's not going to hurt to close the blinds so they don't see what's going on." I want to challenge us today, leave the windows open. In the world that we're living in and all the things that are going on around us, folks, keep doing what you're doing. Let's stay faithful before the Lord. Let's not allow the things that we see going on around us to cause us to close up in a shell. That I close up and I'm just going to keep to myself. I want to look at the 137th chapter of Psalms. Psalms 137. "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" You know, that's the way that we can begin to feel. Lord, how can I continue on? How can I live a victorious life? How do we still proclaim the gospel? Whenever there are fears and doubts, and folks, there may be implications at some point of what's said behind this pulpit. But Lord, help us to be willing to keep the windows open. They said they came to a place here that they were led captive. Oh, we sing a song that says, "Tune your harps, you ransom throng, and extol the name of Christ." It's not time to hang our harps on the willows, saints. It's not time for us to hang our heads in despair. The Lord is said as the people there. They asked him to see, "You're not from this country, are you? You're different, aren't you? There's something different. Will you sing us one of your songs? Maybe I've walked by and I've heard you singing in your houses. Would you sing a song unto me that you know?" Folks, this isn't time to get quiet. This isn't time to shut up the testimony. This isn't time to hide the song. Do you have a song today? Has the Lord put a song in your heart? It was David's testimony. When the Lord reached down and He lifted me up, and He set my feet on a solid rock, and He established my goings, and He put a new song in my mouth. He put a song of victory in my mouth. He put a song, folks, it's a song that our world needs to hear today. If anyone needs to hear the song, it's the song of Zion in our world today. You listen as you go through a store or a restaurant and you hear some of the songs being sung. I think no wonder there's so much depression. No wonder, is there a way to play these songs in reverse? And somehow you get your wife back and you get your life back and you get your happiness back. Folks, it's the song of Zion. It's the song of victory. There's a better song that we can sing. There's something better that has a sweet melody about it that comes from the heart. Oh, what does the song number 53 say? Let the gates of praise be open, sounding forth the joy within. Folks, don't let the enemy shut the doors. Don't let him shut the windows. Don't let him try to quench the testimony or the song of victory that we have. It doesn't say that we just ignore the things that are going on around us, but that we have a vision of something that's greater, of a grace and a song and a testimony and a salvation that's able to reach those in the world around us. First verse of 138, chapter 138, says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. Before the gods will I sing praise unto thee. Not just inside the doors and the walls of my house. Not only just in our assembly. And I appreciate and I love the praises of God's people. But it says, Lord, with my whole heart, from my soul and all within, from everything that I have. Lord, there's a song. There's that fountain, the well of water springing up into everlasting life. There's something just bubbling up within me that I want to let it out. I want to let the song sound forth in its true melody. But it says before the gods. Plural. Before the gods of this world around us. In the midst of those that are paying homage unto their gods. Unto those that are singing the praises of their gods that they're worshiping and setting up in their hearts and lives. You ever feel the enemy just trying to suppress you? You ever feel like sometimes maybe you catch yourself, Lord help us, saying, thank the Lord. And then I look around and say, did anyone else in the checkout hear that? Did anyone else around me hear us as our family bowed our heads in prayer before we ate? Did anyone else see what we were doing? Lord help us not to shut the windows. Lord, help us that I not begin to try to conceal or think somehow they don't want to hear it or they don't need to hear it or they've rejected it. And so we're just going to gather here together and just shut the windows. And just, folks, let's encourage one another. But part of it is encouraging one another. There is a victorious life when we leave here. Let the sound of praise, let the song of praise come forth from our lips. Lord, help us. We not allow the enemy to steal our joy and our praises unto Him. Amen. Before the gods will I sing praises unto the Lord. Oh, remember whenever God prophesied or sent through the prophet Jeremiah, the prophecy has said you're going to be taken captive. For 70 years period of time, you're going to be led captivity. But He didn't say you go in and you stay in a little huddle and you just endure somehow until you get out and just try to survive and just try to cling to what somehow to survival. No, He said you go in and you prosper in that land. You go in and you build houses and you marry and you plant vineyards. It's going to be a while that you're there. So prosper where you are. Lord, help us today to prosper right where I am. To prosper not only at Monarch Springs. But Lord, help me in a barren and a desolate wilderness that I have to go back to. Lord, help me to prosper right there. Isn't that what the green tree Jeremiah speaks of? Psalms, I believe. It shall not see when heat cometh, neither will the leaf thereof wither. Oh, Lord, help me that my roots would tap into something, that whenever everything around me is dry and barren and no green life to it, Lord, I want to have something. I want to have something that the world can look on and recognize there's still life. There's still water that I can tap into. Lord, help us that we prosper. Right in the midst of the land that we're in today. It's not the first time the church has faced adversity. And hardly the level for us here today, maybe the some of our the forefathers that have gone before us have faced. Lord, help us in this time. Daniel, before he ever came to the time of this decree, before he ever faced the threat of the lions, he had already had it settled. Daniel wasn't a young man now as he was facing the lion's den. But Daniel had built and established some convictions. Lord, help us to do the same. To establish some convictions that don't waver with the pressures of the world around us. So that whenever Daniel came down to that time, if it should come down to that time for us, Lord, help us that I'm still singing all the way there. Amen. Folks, the song, the stories of victory are there. You ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? You ever read of those that are holding their hands up still when the fire's burning? Folks, they found a song to sing in a captive land. They found something that even in the midst of the adversity, I've still got a song to sound forth. Oh, let's not say, as they said here, how can we sing the Lord's song? How can I do it? Oh, we can't sing the song anymore. Those days are gone. Those times are past. The Scripture warns about looking back on the former days and saying those days were better than these. Oh, and I know we can look and read the stories of the brush arbors and all of those things where there were many that were flocking out with an interest for the gospel. But Lord, help us, our call today is not to look around and get discouraged. We live in a different generation and we've been placed in this generation. So Lord, help us to sing the song to this generation. Lord, help us, I wasn't placed 100 years ago. Oh, as they said to Esther, who knows but what you're come to the kingdom for such a time as this. This is your time. This is your generation. This is your calling now. This is the generation that I've called you to sing your song to. The fires aren't burning at the stakes before us at this point. But Lord, help us at our station, at our place before our generation. I don't want to get to the place to say, Lord, that they don't want it. Lord, they're ridiculing me. They're laughing at me. They don't want it. I'm just going to do my own thing. Lord, help us to sing the song. Lord, help us to still say, folks, you know, Daniel didn't go out there when he heard this decree and say, folks, come on, let's make up some picket signs here. We're going to go and march before the king's palace and we're going to picket and put on some demonstrations and we're going to really let him know that we're protesting this. You know, he didn't have to. Folks, there's a more powerful demonstration than we can have than that. There's something that speaks far louder than going and picketing at a funeral or whatever it is that they do. Trying to burn down an abortion clinic or whatever it is, folks, help us. Lord, help us to just sing the song. Lord, help us let a gospel, a holy life tell the gospel story. Let that be that demonstrated, but you got to show it out. You got to allow people to see it. They're not going to see it behind the closed windows. Amen. So Lord, help me to keep the windows open. Lord, help me to live it on Him. Lord, help me even whenever the decrees go forth, whenever the music sounds and everybody says, bow down. Oh, it's the time for me to stand. Not with an ugly spirit, not with a demonstration, not with a carnal warfare of myself, but Lord, with the excellent spirit that you place within me. Lord, help me to show forth the praises of our God. Lord, help me to show Him there's something better than that. Whenever, oh, it says here in 138, before the gods I will praise thee. Whenever Paul there on Mars Hill, as he looked around and he saw all the gods that they set up. You know, he didn't go around and out of respect or homage, just pay some respect to each one of them. He proclaimed unto them before all the gods that were set up. This unknown God, let me tell you about him. This God that you don't know, let me tell you what he is. Let me tell you who he is. Whenever they want to hear the song, whenever they need to hear the song, let me tell them about the country that I come from. Let me tell them, I know this song sounds peculiar to you. Let me tell you what it means. Let me tell you what it's done for me. Let me tell you about my King. Let me tell you about what freedom and liberty is. I don't have to go and just bash what you have, but I can go and proclaim in the joy of the Lord what I have. I can demonstrate that I'm enjoying my salvation, that I have a song that I'm singing before the Lord. So I believe today the Lord wants to encourage us and challenge us, everyone. Keep the windows open. Don't allow the enemy to come along in the pressures that we face and discourage us. And think there's nobody that's interested. It's just our small little group here. Sound it all the louder. Let the song sound forth. Lord, help us today that we keep the windows open. That we would prosper in the midst of a captive land. You pray for me. Amen.